17. What if tomorrow never comes? You see, it may not for a lot of people. The only day that you have is today. You have no promise of tomorrow. I think about this young man, and I know that his family had plans for him probably today, plans next week, plans that they was going to make, plans that you're planning on making, but you have no promise of tomorrow. This may be the last sermon that I ever preach. It may be the last sermon that you ever hear. We have no promise of tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? Today is the only day that we have. I guess most of you know about Madeline Murray O'Hara, the great atheist that was responsible for taking prayer out of school of America. She was known as an intellectual atheist. She did not believe that God existed. Now, if they can't find her body, don't know where she's at now, but wherever she's at, I can assure you, she believes in God. It's just too late if she didn't before she left this earth. Russian cosmonauts several years ago, they went around the moon, and one of them come back and said, I didn't find God nowhere. Didn't believe in God. If he'd have stepped out of that spaceship, he'd have found God. The people of this country today, and I've never met an intellectual atheist that I know of. I've never talked to one. I know they are atheists. I see on television, you see where around Christmas time that you find that they put out their stuff about atheism. They don't believe in God. Intellectual atheist. Well, James, in his book, in these verses, is writing about an atheist. Is writing about an atheist. And telling us about an atheist today. But it's another type of atheist. It's not an intellectual atheist. It is a practical atheist. And let's read these verses of Scripture, because he is taking the mask off and showing us today about a practical atheist. And it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into a certain city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. May God add a blessing upon his word. Intellectual atheist says there are no God. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool that says in his heart there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And the Bible says, no, not one. Practical atheist. Do not believe in God. An intellectual atheist do not believe in God. But the practical atheists say they do. But the term, the way they live their life, they do not act as there is a God. No time for God, no time for things of God, the people of God. Never talk to God. They never include God in any of their plans or life or their family, as you see this man I just read about. And I tell you, across America today, our church rolls, we have a lot of atheists on our church rolls. Practical atheists. Anybody that you ask on our church rolls or any other church roll, would you ask them, do they believe in God? Yes, 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 I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. I believe we have, what did you say, Marsh, about 150 or whatever, 150 people we couldn't find with the FBI. They say, I guarantee if you could find one of them, they'd say, I believe in God. But they live their life as they are no God. And this is the type of person that James is explaining to you and I today, and across the America we live today. There are people that tell me that I'm saved, but no church. I'm saved, but no church. that is contradiction to the Word of God, that is not of God. It's like saying, I want to be a bee, but I don't want no hive. I want to be a sailor, but I don't want no ship. I want to be a parrot, but I don't want no kids. That's how much it makes sense to anybody that says they're saved and they believe in God, but yet no God, no things of God. Jesus did not say, I will build you a church. He did not say, you will build me a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. This church is not your church. This church is not my church. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. He's building this church. He builds the church, not you and not I. $100 gold piece or a nickel on the ocean floor, which one is the most valuable? Both are the same because they are out of circulation. So as someone say, I'm saved and out of circulation with Jesus Christ. We have practical atheists across the spectrum of our country this day. Most atheists, I understand, lives in the Soviet Union. I don't know, but we have more practical atheists, I believe, in the United States than they do in Russia. James draws a picture of a practical atheist. And he has a lot of brothers and he has a lot of sisters as James draws us a picture of the practical atheist. America foolish priorities we have today. And the fall of America will be because of the practical atheists that we have in our country. It says, yeah, I believe in God, but they live their life as they are no God. For a family that's falling today and falling apart, and there are many of them, they say I'm saved, they say I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in God, but yet they act as they have no God in their life. No time for God, no things of God, never think about God. The family, the day. Today we're looking at a businessman. As you look at this businessman, now he's got his computers lined up around his wall in his office. He's got his secretary, his phones is ringing off the thing. And you see he's fixing to travel in this picture here. He's traveling. He's going to be a businessman. He's going on an adventure. Could be a business lady today because you see the ladies, they are climbing that corporate ladder just like the men are. They have left their great God calling as mothers today. But they're in this picture also. They're making plans for the year 2017. They got a lot of plans. What they're going to do, what they're not going to do. Man, today, you see, you've got a lot of plans. A lot of times it's for the young people. Man, if I could just get me an education. Boy, if I could just get me a good job, get me a good college job and everything else, you know, and get me a house and get married and have me a swimming pool and have me a boat and everything will be all right. Wrong when you leave out God. When you leave out God. Everything's important, but you need to keep God in your life. The picture of a practical atheist today, and he draws his conclusion for us out of the Word of God for each one of us. He says, you know, there's a period of time in this man's mind. He says there in verse 13, today or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow. He's looking for tomorrow as a lot of people look tomorrow. What you going to do tomorrow? You or a lot of us already got tomorrow planned out. Did you know 3 days from now the flowers will already be dying on your funeral, on your grave? 3 days from now. Usually it's all over in 3 days. You have the view and your funeral, then it's all over in 3 days. It's over with. But this man, the language there, he assumes what he's going to do. He forecasts in his future. Now, most of us are forecasting our future. What are we going to do next week? Tomorrow, Monday? Kids going to school, whatever. We forecast our future, what we're going to be doing, but you have no promise of tomorrow for what you're going to be doing tomorrow, not next week, next month, or this year of 2017, but this period of time is in mind with this man, what he's going to do today or tomorrow. But you see, there's also a place in mind. He said, we're going to go to a certain city. He already knows where we're going. He's planning out his future. He's going to a certain city. He's looking for the next money boom, the next business boom that's going to occur next year. A definite place in mind, 2017. Business going to grow, going to get you a higher job. I mean, it's going to boom. America, across America, it's going to boom. So you see, you got a place in mind, but also you got a plan in mind. We will continue there a year of 2017. We're going to be there for a whole year doing this job and doing this city in this certain city, what we're going to do. We got it all planned out. We're going to do this now. This plan, this businessman, it looks good. Good financial gain. Security, success, all my ability says, all my education, all my skills. All next year, it's going to be a great year of 2017, going to be a great year. Procedure is involved. We're going to buy and we're going to sell. We're going to make some money. We're going to go buy and sell. That's the reason we're going. We're going to spend and grow. Our business is going to get bigger. We're going to get a better job. We're going to get promotions on our job, increase our education. 2017, what we're going to do. And then there's a purpose there in mind. We're going to get gain. We're going to make some money. I'm going to tell you, we're going to get it. Instant success is what most people are looking for. Get rich, wealthy. That's the name of the game. Big bucks in our country. That's what we're going to do. Now, as you read this, is there anything wrong with what this man is fixing to do? The Bible encourages business. Nothing wrong with that. He's planning. The Bible encourages planning. Nothing wrong with that. Plan to make profit. The Bible encourages making profit. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong? What's wrong? One thing. He leaves God out. Nothing wrong with what this man is doing. Planning, working, everything, expecting to get profit, all the good business he's doing. Nothing wrong with it. God encouraged everything that this man was doing. He leaves God out. Now, in every area of a life, a practical atheist, no matter what they're doing, they may not be doing all that's wrong, but they're not doing what's right. And they're leaving God out of their life. God bless America. We leave God out. Now, Wednesday night, I wish you was here last Wednesday night, or you'd be here this Wednesday night, because we're going to talk about the will of God. That's what this is here. Many church members are saying, you know, they worship maybe once in a while, but their activities, their life is divided. Their life is divided in the secular and the sacred. Remember I explained to you years ago, they had what they call a TV guide. Y'all remember when the TV guide come out? And always in the TV guide, there was a chapter, was a religious chapter in the TV guide. But you can read all the 99 other chapters in the TV guide, you won't have any mention of any type of religious activities, because it didn't go through the TV guide. They only had one chapter. Well, that's a lot of atheists today, practical atheists, they only have one time, one thing, one chance for God, and the rest of the week is like that TV guide. No thoughts of God. No thoughts of God whatsoever. The biggest fool is not the one that says they are no God. The biggest fool that says, I believe in God yet and live their life as they are no God. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and we shall do in 2017. He is not seeking the will of God. Show me your will, God, each one of us today. God, show me your will in 2017. God wants to show us his will for the future. He wants to. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes in 17 this year. I will instruct you. I will guide thee with my eyes. Have you ever been guided with someone's eyes? Whenever I was young, as I said, you know, the children, we'd go somewhere and maybe to see some of our families. And you know how kids do sometimes? They act up and get a little bit noisy. And all my daddy had to do is just look at me. He didn't have to say a word. He just looked at me. And I know to straighten up. If I didn't, I know what was behind them eyes. Jesus Christ, whenever Peter denied him, he didn't say a word. He just looked at Peter. And he guided Peter unto repentance with his eyes. God says, if you get close to me, and you always have to be close enough to see those eyes. I was close enough in that house that my daddy could see me and I could see his eyes. Peter was close enough to the Lord that he could see his eyes. And he guides. He's asking you this year, if you'll be close to me, I will guide you in this year that you've never lived before. You and your family. I will guide you with my eyes. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. We have a heavenly sonar built in if you're a child of God. And that is the Spirit of Almighty God. And he said, nope, don't go this way. That old spirit will talk to you. No, go this way. I guide you in year 2017. John 16 and 13 also says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come in 2017. He will speak to you. And our thoughts again is on Wednesday night. A heavenly guide. Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He wants to lead you. Y'all understand God wants to lead you in this year that you never lived before? Tomorrow is a day that you never lived before, and he wants to guide you. Psalm 66 and 18 said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. That is the people outside the will of God, tries to pray. They cannot pray. God will not hear them. He will not answer their prayers. With unconfessed, unrepentance is sin, and he will not hear. Proverbs 3 and 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path, and he will. But you see, America, foolish priorities, all this have in mind is good, what this man had in mind, period of time, a place, a plan, a procedure, and a purpose, but you see, he left God out. But America, forgotten priorities, the sanctity of life, brevity of life, and the sanctity of life. Listen now as we think about this. America forgotten priorities in verse 13. Go to now. Now you look at the situation. Now this businessman, he has a problem. There's a lot of people today, mothers and fathers, people on the workforce, people out there living their life any way they can, they have problems. They don't understand what life is all about. They don't understand what life is all about. They run the rat race. And the rat never wins. They're on a merry-go-round. When they get going or through around and around and around, they get off the same place they got on, and they hadn't been nowhere. That's the life of a practical atheist today. No purpose and no meaning. The uncertainty of life. Whereas you ought not to know not what shall be on tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow is. Y'all know what? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us. We don't know. It's up to the Lord. Is that right? Extremely unwise to presume on the future and do something. I'm going to do something next week and next month. Proverbs 27 and 1 says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I can assure you that family that lost that little loved one, I can assure you they didn't know that was a day. And you don't know either. And I don't know. Like I said, it might be my last sermon. Might be the last sermon that you hear today. Luke 12 and 19. Rich young farmer. Jesus Christ warning. And he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou have much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He forsook eternity for his body. You see, his body for his soul, because see, a soul don't eat or drink. And he made a great mistake that a lot of people are making today. Boy, we're going to get something laid up for us for tomorrow. Nothing wrong with that. The uncertainty of life. Just make sure that you don't leave God out of your life. There's a lot of practical atheists that's on Baptist rolls and other church rolls today. I remember Brother Jimmy, too. We start off with the railroad and work with the railroad for 40 years. And there'd be a lot of the men say, boy, when I retire, I'm going to buy me a camper. Me and my wife, we're going to go camping. We're going to go traveling. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When I retire, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When I retire, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. When I retire, most of the time, one of them didn't make it. Four walls. And they never traveled. never done what they was wanted to do. You know what? They was looking for tomorrow. If wait till tomorrow, what you going to do tomorrow? Next week? Looking for tomorrow. The forgotten priorities of the uncertainty of life and brief of life. James says, what is your life but a vapor appears for a little while and it vanishes away? Can y'all understand that now? If you're older than me or older, I guarantee you can understand what that verse of scripture means. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amos 4:12, therefore, thou will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet the God. That's what he's telling you this morning. You better prepare to meet God, because you might meet God for tomorrow. Is your life ready? If you know this was the last day that you had to live, with anything that you do different that you plan on doing today? You know, your life is nothing but just a puff of smoke on a foggy morning. And they was calling out birthdays for these younger people, these birthdays. I remember if I could just live, I'd get 16 years old. If I could just make it, I'd get 16 years old and get my driving license. Man, those years went by like pouring syrup on a cold morning like this morning. They just pour slow. It just seemed like never got there. But I want to tell you, after I reached 16, it was a runaway horse. It was a runaway horse. David said that there's a step between me and death, and I'll tell you one thing, it's not a very long step, is it? Christians, we have only one life to live and soon it'll be passed. And I want to tell you what you do for Jesus is the only thing that's going to last. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. If you're going to do something for Jesus Christ, you know what? You better do it now. You better do it today. If you're lost here this morning, you need to be saved today. You better do it today. If you ever plan to be saved, you need to do it today, not tomorrow. Everybody want to wait till tomorrow. You have no promise of tomorrow. If you're going to be saved, you know what? You need to do it today. I'll give you an invitation in just a few minutes to be saved. If you're going to be a member of the church and you're not a member, you're already saved and been baptized, you need to come today. You see, if you've never been baptized, you need to come to be baptized. You need to make a decision today. If you rededicate your life, if you want to do some giving to Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. You need to do it today. If you're going to do some visiting to somebody you need to visit, you need to do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Forgotten priorities of the sanctity of life. You ought to say, if the Lord's will. If you went to this man's office that James has told you about here, and you could sit down at his desk and say, do you believe in God? Oh, yes. Yes, sirree. I believe in God. Yes, sirree. I believe in God. Of course I do. I'm on a church roll. I'm on a Baptist church roll. Practical atheist. He's a practical atheist. Shut God out. He puts God in a room as a lot of people on practical atheist. They put him in a room and they say to God, don't call me, I'll call you if I need you. If not, need you, I won't call on you. And if anything comes up, they're going to abandon church. And they're going to do what they want to do. And they're going to abandon God. God, I don't need you. They're going to abandon it. Psalms 10:4 says, the wicked thoughts, the pride of the countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. He don't even think about God. Next month, next week, tonight. Wednesday night, next Sunday, Sunday school, prayer service, reading, Bible study. People has lost their way to church. Confine God to 1 week. Where's God at in your life today? God has a plan and a will for your life and a purpose for your life. You see, he describes America in 2017, the forsaken priorities of a practical atheist. God and his house. James says in verse 17, Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Find the will of God, follow the will of God. We'll be studying that Wednesday night. Find the will of God. The forsaken priority is church life with Jesus Christ. God is the master architect of your life. Y'all all believe that? Of all people's life. God planned a perfect life for every person. For you. For a purpose. He designed your plan. John 7 and 17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If you just do the will of God. The greatest sin, most of the time, is not what we're doing, but the sin of omission is what we are not doing. That's what James warned about. Things we ought to do, yet we do not do them. And if you do what you ought not to do, most of the time you do the things you shouldn't do. But if you do the things you should do, you won't be doing the things you ought not to do. You know why? Because you can't have two thoughts at one time, even your thinking process. If you think the thoughts you ought to, you can't think the thoughts you ought not to think. And it comes in, but what we don't understand as Christians a lot of times, we say, well, I don't kill nobody, I don't get drunk, I don't do this, I don't do that. It's not what we're doing, it's what we're not doing. It's what we're not doing, omission. The root of every family problem, especially Christian families, is not doing what they ought to do. They're not coming to church. So they're not doing what they ought to do, and they're doing some things they should not be doing. You know, it says in Numbers 32 and 23, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Now, in that verse of scriptures, Moses had brought the nation of Israel up going into the Canaan land across Jordan. Now, there was two of the tribes that wanted to stay on this side of Jordan, Gad and Reuben. And they said, hey, this is a good place to raise cattle, nice grass. We want to stay on this side. Joshua, as you move in across the land, Moses says, now listen. Now you can stay here on this side. But when the battle comes that your brother's going to fight on the other side, if you stay on this side and you don't help them fight and you don't do what you ought to do, it is a sin, and be sure your sins will find you out. If you don't go across and fight whenever there's a battle, be sure your sins will find you out. They say, yes, yes, we will do that. They'll find you out. The things they did not do. Now, that is a Christian. That is a church member. Claims they're saved here at this church. Claims they're saved. Member of this church. Don't want to get in battle. Rest us cross that line. There's a battle. This is a battleground. Christian life is a battleground. We're fighting here at this church. But we have people who don't want to get in the battle. They want the joy. They want the victory, but no battle. That was the two tribes on the other side of the Jordan River. No commitment. Have no commitment whatsoever. No giving. They're on the shores of the other side. They just want the blessings. Failed to do what they ought to do. What would this church be if everybody church just like me? Would we close the door on Wednesday night? Would we close the door on Sunday night? Will we have any Sunday school? Will we have any giving for the run the lights and electricity? Whew. What would this church be if everybody church just like me? What would we have? A member of the church? A man. He wasn't much for stirring about. It wasn't his desire while others worked to build their church. He was sitting by the fire. Same old story day by day. He never seemed to have time, no matter what other people said. He was just sitting by the fire. At last he died, as we all must do. Some said he went up higher. But if he's doing what he usually do, He was sitting by the fire. Practical atheist. The way of God, following God's way, following his will, following his way. We can be ignorant to his will and his way. We can reject it or we can do it. The sin of omission. John 3 and 18. The people that's in hell and the people that's in heaven today. And if people go to heaven or hell, it's a lie of the day. John 3 and 18. He that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what do anybody have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Just be your natural, ordinary self, falling from God. You don't have to kill. You don't have to murder. You don't have to do anything. Just act natural. And it says, because he have not. It's not what a person does that sends them to hell. It's what they do not do, the sin of omission. They have not accepted Jesus Christ. They murder, they rape, they kill, whatever it might be. But those will be the sins of the work they be judged in the percentage of the work they've done while they've been on this earth. But they don't go to hell because what they've done. They go to hell because what they have not done. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. They have not accepted the mercy of Jesus Christ, the reason anybody's in hell today. And the reason they go to heaven, because of what they have done, they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So you sit here this morning, next year, say, well, I'm going to be saved such and such. I'm planning on getting saved. I'm going to do this. I'm going to. You don't know if you'll have it tomorrow or not. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. The sin of omission. Don't do it. Don't accept Jesus Christ. And you're already on your way to a place called hell. Some people think I got to be bad. They think bad people go to hell and good people go to heaven. No. Saved people goes to heaven and lost people goes to hell. Well, if I'm a Christian, I'm a good person. No, you are a new person. You are a new person. Have you accepted Jesus Christ? You are a new creation. God don't take these old bodies and build upon them, this old nature and build. He gives you a new man. A new woman, a new boy, a new girl. You are a new creation that God's going to get in you and do what you could not do for yourself. We don't have the strength to do it. We're without strength. Do you want to be this man? As we have many people on church rolls today as practical atheists. They do not live their life as they are a God, but they say they do. But how about you this morning? You believe in Jesus Christ? It's up to you. What you going to do for Jesus Christ? You need to do it now. You plan to do something for Jesus, don't you? Well, I tell you, times are passing in a hurry. You better do it. You better do it now. Because if this young man was 9 years old, his parents, they had a day planned out, probably next week planned out. You have your plan, but you may not get a chance. And I might be the one that falls dead first because none of us have a promise of a Monday morning. Young and old, that young boy at 9 years old, we just don't know. But this morning, I want to ask you to do what you know you need to do in your heart. You need to come. If God has moved upon your heart, I want you to come. We have the song of invitation now. Now it's your time, your opportunity. You say you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Well, have you ever come forward? Are you a member of church somewhere? Did you know God had plans for you to have 3 homes? When you leave here, I hope everybody's got a home to go to. He wants you to have a home that you and your family can live in. But he wants you to have a church home. And then he wants you to have a heavenly home. Do you have those three homes? You say, well, I have a home to go to, but do you have a church home? Do you have a heavenly home? Jesus Christ says, you know, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you have one there? You see, you got to do something. That sin of omission won't work. You need to accept Jesus Christ.